We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity in Darmstadt, Illinois. And at my right, I have
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis.
And we are here this Saturday morning bringing you
Wrestling with the basics.
All right, so we're all oiled up here and ready to go.
We are ready this morning.
By the way, we want to say a word of thanks to Ray. I guess Ray heard that we finished our opening joke Jeopardy, and he was afraid we might be running out of bad jokes.
Oh, so boy. Ray, we don't want to do that.
He sent me 20 jokes, so terrible they're actually funny.
Oh, thanks for coming through for us, Ray.
Yeah, have no idea where you're getting this stuff, Ray, but we will share a selection of with you. You want to take the first one there? I think that one's pretty bad. That's bad enough that it's terrible.
Okay, let's see. Number one here. Two antennas met on a roof. They fell in love and got married. The ceremony wasn't much, but the reception was excellent. The reception, get it? The antennas?
I saved the second one just for me. A jumper cable walks into a bar. The bartender says, "I'll serve you, but don't start anything." Okay, thanks a lot, Ray. Wow, let's see what else we got here.
Can I do number six?
Are you okay? Do number six. Your son Noah will love
like this one.
Yes.
Two cannibals are eating a clown. Oh, that sounds terrible. One says to the other, "Does this taste funny to you?"
An invisible man marries an invisible woman. The kids were nothing to look at either. Oh, I like this one too. I like 11.
Number 11? Okay.
We have to kind of.
Yeah. I went to buy some camouflage trousers the other day, but I couldn't find any.
All right. Well, thank you, Ray. Thank you very much. We won't use all 20 of them right now. We'll save some because you don't want to overdo it.
Oh, no.
I mean, save a little bit.
Especially if people are driving. And we don't want them laughing in control, be swerving
losing
off the road.
Control of the road.
Blaming wrestling with the basics.
We'll save some of those for the future.
Those were pretty decent. It's a lot better than the stuff we drum up.
Yeah,
there
I know,
Ray.
So thank you, Ray. Thank you for the material. And now we're continuing, and I think I finally got it right. It's the gift of the fruit in the singular of the Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit. Very good.
My wife has been teasing me about that mercilessly.
It's only taken
the fruit, not the fruits.
We're at fruit number eight.
Fruit number
eight. And Pastor Lekumsky has got the title down. But and the only reason we make mention again is because it's that singular fruit. We're not picking and choosing what we want here.
Yeah.
You know, instead, this is all a gift from God. This is all from the Holy Spirit, as the name implies, fruit of the Spirit.
Thank you, Matt. You just actually made my brain kick into gear, because that's exactly what we want, is the fruits of the Spirit, so we can pick and choose whatever we think we need.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I need that joy stuff.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
That patience stuff. No.
I think I'll leave that on the buffet line. No.
On the buffet line. But thank you. It's a gift, and you get them all. You can't pick and choose.
Yeah, and thanks be to God we get them all. Again, gifts from Him, fruit that we bear, connected to the one who's the vine, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Before you go on, one thing I've really loved about this study that you've given us, Matt, is you connect up these gifts with these beautiful, beautiful Bible stories. So where are we connecting up today?
Good. And, you know, I want to give credit to where credit's due. You know, this sermon series, you know, I'm writing these, you know, this is kind of what this is the fruit of, the sermon series. And you know, I wrote those sermons, of course, but then a good resource as I wrote those was a book on the fruit of the Spirit, actually a Bible study series by Lane Berglund, who I think is a recent guest here at KFUO, frequent guest, I should say, at KFUO, on the Bible study at various times. And just kind of a neat little Bible study series from Concordia Publishing House. So just some good material and kind of good starting points with some of these scripture accounts that you mentioned.
And we do want to acknowledge, if there's anything you hear on the show that you find really, really helpful and excellent, Matt and I probably got it from somebody else.
That's probably pretty safe to say.
Then we should make that disclaimer. The bad jokes are totally... Well, no, Ray's responsible for the bad jokes.
No, we're not even responsible for those.
That's right. Okay.
Good.
So where at?
Today, one of the verses we want to look at is Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 28.
Okay.
But before we get there, right. I want to comment on something that you said, that some of these fruit of the Spirit, maybe we feel like, well, I don't know if I really want that or not. And I think today's fruit that we focus on, fruit number 8, is gentleness. And is gentleness something that people really desire? What do you think of? Is that a desirable quality for someone to have? You know, if you're at a job interview, for instance, do the interviewer says, let's see, just how gentle are you? Probably not.
Well, now that we're well into the NFL season, somehow I doubt that the coach gets up before the game and says, all right, guys, get out there and be gentle.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so we have these different phrases that are cliches. A nice guy's finish last. It's a dog eat dog world. I came across, speaking of jobs, I came across this quote by the fashion designer Coco Chanel, who is credited as having said, "Gentleness doesn't get work done unless you happen to be a hen laying eggs." So she did not have a very high respect for gentle people, at least not in the business world. And why do you think that is? I mean, I have a theory. Gentleness almost seems like something to be avoided in some respects. If you want to get ahead, don't be gentle. It's something to be avoided.
No, you got to be forceful. You got to put yourself out there.
Yet it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that's desirable, according to Galatians 5. And something that is who we are as Christians, as those in whom the Holy Spirit dwells.
Well, and now, of course, I think you're reminding us again that as we have these gifts, and I'm glad that you've pointed out these are fruits, these come from our connection to Christ, they probably do in every single instance run contrary to the way we are by our human nature.
Yeah.
Because, I think gentleness, you're right, that kind of stands out. But I'm thinking about some of the other things. Patience? No, I'm not patient. Kindness? No, you know, you cut me off on the road, you'll see how kind I can be.
Yeah, just
but what? So you have a
theory, on the list.
Theory about this gentleness thing?
Yeah, with gentleness in particular, I kind of have a theory, and I think that we've just misunderstood gentleness. We've redefined gentleness, not the biblical kind of gentleness, but we've redefined it to be something else. And maybe we've done that with other fruit of the Spirit too, but especially gentleness. And I think what we've done is we've said that gentleness is the opposite of strength.
Ah, yes.
That
yes.
Gentleness is equated with, synonymous with weakness. Exactly.
Weakness. I can see that. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that is totally wrong. That's a misunderstanding. It's a redefinition of what that biblical gentleness is. No, it's not. It doesn't mean to be weak. It doesn't mean to be.
Well, what does it mean then, Matt?
Well, good question. So the other thing that's been in common, I think, with these fruit of the Spirit, pointing back to the Spirit, of course, and that connection to Jesus. But in each one of these segments, too, I think we've always gone back to Jesus, too.
Yes.
And I think that we can go back to Jesus here, too. Jesus, is he gentle in the scriptures?
Well, not when he goes in the temple and starts beating up people with a whip rope.
Well, no, okay, so, exactly. Okay, good, good. I'm glad you said that. So, well, Jesus is gentle. He it's part of his character,
yes,
I would say.
Yes.
But yet, that doesn't mean he's weak.
No.
He gets out the whip when it's appropriate, and he drives people out of his Father's house. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth, for crying out loud. He's more powerful than any man or any nation or any army. He is the Son of God. I mean, if you're talking about power, it's Jesus. He is power and strength. And yet we have these examples in Scripture where Jesus, all-powerful Jesus, chooses to call himself gentle. And even demonstrates gentleness.
Now I see where you're going. When you said Matthew 11, I wondered why is he, but I see where you're
going. Okay, very well. Well, okay. I think it's time to read it. So we were in Matthew chapter 11. You want to begin with verse 28? And just okay.
"Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Yeah. So here, Jesus in verse 29, learn from me, for I am gentle. Yeah. Jesus uses to describe himself as gentle. Yeah. So this all-powerful Son of God calls himself gentle. And he talks then about this yoke, taking this yoke upon you and learning from me, for I'm gentle. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And I think sometimes we put ourselves under this heavy yoke of the law, this yoke that you and I can't handle, and yes, it seems yes. impossible.
Yeah, you got to pray every day, and you got to go to church every week, and now all these other things you've been talking about, you got to be kind. In fact, you've given us this whole list of things we've got to do. Kindness and patience and faithfulness and all those other things I can't remember.
Yeah. and Jesus,
that's a pretty heavy yoke here you've been laying on us.
Well, and it makes sense because, again, you're going back to the business world. That's how you get ahead. That's how you get the promotion.
Right.
You got it.
Nose to the grindstone.
Exactly. But Jesus comes along and he again, redefines that, turns it on its head. And no, take my yoke. And so this yoke, for those of us who aren't familiar with older agricultural practices and farm implements, the yoke is something that was a heavy object, oftentimes made out of wood, placed over two animals to plow the fields. And here Jesus is saying his yoke, his burden is light. We can almost picture ourselves connected to Jesus and him bearing that burden.
Is that why it's light then, Matt? Is because he's bearing it with us? Is that
the point? He's bearing all of it. He's bearing our sin. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Jesus has done all the work. Jesus gives us rest then from that impossible task of trying to earn our salvation, trying to do all these things. No, it's all been done. He's carried that cross on his shoulders to Calvary, we could put it that way, bore the burden of our sin on the cross, and that burden's lifted from us.
So what does that have to do with gentleness, though, Matt?
Yeah. I would say that this gentleness, this lowly in heart, this humbleness, maybe we could say in that respect, is what Jesus has done for us, that gentleness, that humbling himself to the point of even dying for us on the cross, that almighty Son of God. Yeah.
So I have this picture of the phrase that's often used of the gentle giant.
Yeah.
Someone who's extremely powerful, but he would never use that power to harm or to endanger, but actually uses that power, as you say, here to be of help and blessing and to even carry us along.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that there's lots of examples. So another example of Jesus doing this is later in Mark. Chapter 10.
All right. I've got that too. What verse did you want there, Matt?
In Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 13. So here's another example of Jesus being gentle.
And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. That didn't sound very gentle to me, Matt. Indignant? That's not gentle. He was kind of reaming these guys out, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I think Jesus is gentle when it's appropriate, and maybe he's a little tougher when it's appropriate.
Okay.
But again, I think his character is gentleness. That's part of who he is. He describes himself as gentle.
But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them.
Yeah. So here we see the gentleness with the children, not so much with the disciples. He rebukes them.
No.
He's indignant. But with the children, he's gentle. And, like you use that phrase, gentle giant. Here's, again, this giant in terms of all-powerful Jesus.
And speak a word, calm the storm.
Yes.
That's how powerful he is.
Oh, the wind and the waves even obey him.
Yes.
But here with the little children, I just love this scene. If your toddler's toddling over to Jesus and babies in his arms and children jumping onto his lap, and Jesus touches them, puts his hands on them, and blesses them. That gentleness with the little children.
Which, of course, is why the disciples didn't want the children to come, because they would be a nuisance. Just what you said. They'd be climbing on you, and they'd poop in their diapers, and they're crying and everything. But of course, Christ's response is in his gentleness to receive them and welcome them with all of their weaknesses and their frailties and their whining yes. and whatever. Yeah.
Anyway, we need to keep in mind too, in that time, children were even kind of looked down on yeah. more than today. You know, that they kind of are a nuisance, and you know, that's kind of the lowest of the low. And no, here Jesus blesses them, takes the time to do that, and we see in other places how he even uses them as an example of humbleness, a humble well, faith.
You've got that here. Whoever does not receive the exactly. kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And I remember reading that too, that in those days, that was to an insult to call someone a child. That's yeah. what you would say, to insult them, because no, they lacked maturity, they lacked self-control, they lacked their own determinism. So okay,
yeah, good. So I think there's a picture here too when we have baptisms. Oftentimes, this is one of the verses that's in the agenda, that book of liturgy that we use. This verse is in there, and then I think you see that, especially the baptism of a child or an infant. You see how that child gently becomes a part of that kingdom of heaven and sins forgiven as the cross of Jesus is placed in their forehead and their hearts. And we see, let the little children come to me, and the children literally being brought to Jesus through baptism.
And you know, the image that popped in my hand, I hope I'm not stealing any of your thunder here, but of gentleness, is that whole picture of Jesus as the good shepherd yeah. and finding the lost sheep. And again, not being indignant with it, not beating it or driving it back to the farm, but picking it up and carrying it on his shoulders, bringing it back to the house where they'll be rejoicing.
Yes.
I see that as being kind of a gentle thing, too.
Exactly. I mean, the list can go on and on. Jesus is the good shepherd, caring for the sheep, for these lambs. Jesus coming gently at Christmas, being laid in this lowly little manger,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, that's a beautiful picture of gentleness. Yeah.
Again, bearing that yoke for us at the cross, and how is that gentle? I think at the cross, we see Jesus, even in his dying breaths, the gentleness he shows for his mother. That's always so touching, how he makes sure that she's cared for, and as talking to John and Mary. You
yeah,
know, it's
mother,
beautiful.
Behold your son, behold your mother.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, praying on the cross for those that were nailing him there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yes, yes. You know, I think what maybe one more example of
okay.
gentleness we can look at, and gentleness maybe when it comes to our sins in particular, is an account. I didn't give you this one ahead of time, but
okay.
if you want to look up in the Gospel of John, we're going to move over to John chapter 8.
Okay.
John chapter 8. And
as long as you keep it around the Gospels,
okay.
I'm okay.
okay.
You go in that stuff like Corinthians, that's another story.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I got John close. I got 10. Okay, where's
John
is it
chapter
at
8, and then what we're looking at, John 8, beginning with verse, if you want to begin with verse 3, it's this
okay.
the woman that's caught in adultery.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So kind of a familiar account. So if we want to read okay. through that, and we really want to notice how the Pharisees and others deal with this woman caught in adultery, and then how Jesus deals with her.
The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in their midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they had heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more."
All right, thank you. So they're ready to do something. This woman caught in adultery that's not so gentle.
No,
they're ready to stone her, throw
yeah.
rocks at her till she dies.
Yeah, that's not gentle.
No, that's there's nothing gentle about that. But according to the law, according to that Old Testament law. But Jesus does something gentle. I mean, he does something that doesn't even take words. He just bends down and writes with his finger on the ground. He says, "Let the one without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he writes down on the ground again. And then, of course, the people leave, beginning with the older ones. That's interesting. And then finally, Jesus stands up and says, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one." And he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." So I think here, I like this example because Jesus deals with this woman caught in sin gently. He gently says, "Neither do I condemn you." But at the same time, he doesn't ignore sin either. He also says, perhaps in a gentle way, "Go and sin no more." this warning to her, this call for repentance as she turned from that sin, that she be forgiven and live that life pleasing to God, that life of repentance.
You know, and that's interesting because going back to the cross that you were talking about a moment ago, there is nothing more gentle than Jesus going to the cross like a lamb led to the slaughter. Like I said, he didn't fight anybody. He said, I could have called a host of angels, but he doesn't do that. He just willingly goes to the cross. And yet, of course, there's strength and power because he's doing that again to pay for our sins. You know, you're right. So there's gentleness, and yet there certainly isn't a ignorance of sin, but a desire to bring forgiveness. It's interesting you bring up that story in the context of gentleness because, you know, Max Lucado, again, showing that we do know smart people. We may not be smart ourselves, but we know smart people. He points out that he thinks the reason Jesus was writing in the dirt was because this woman probably was pretty scantily clad, having been caught in the midst of adultery, as the text says. And so he was doing that to draw the attention of these men away from the woman and her shame to look, what's he writing? What's he doing down there? See? Yeah. And so again, that would be another example of Jesus' gentleness and dealing
gentlest
with
care
sinners.
For her. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. And I know there's, you know, who knows? Maybe so. It's kind of a neat idea. It's a beautiful picture. It's care for her, not just for her sin, but also for just her integrity and modestness.
Yeah. Covering up our shame, doing everything possible to cover up, not ignoring it, dying for it.
Yes.
But dealing with us in gentleness. Oh, man, you got my mind running here.
And I like this account, too, because I think it really speaks to how we should deal with someone who's maybe caught in a sin ourselves, if someone else is. So I'll just go ahead and read this. But in Galatians 6, Paul says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him. Okay, don't ignore it, but restore them in a spirit of, guess what?
Gentleness.
So not with this holier-than-thou attitude. No, we're sinners, too, right? But following Jesus' example here in John 8 in a spirit of gentleness. Gentleness.
Is that the same passage that talks about bearing one another's burdens?
I believe so.
I think it is, yeah.
You know, running low on time, but I keep mentioning job descriptions here, and you know, you might not get the job if you're too gentle, or it's probably not on the list of the interviewer's questions. But I think it's interesting that there's one job in particular where one requirement is to be gentle.
Okay.
And that of course is the job, the office, the calling of a pastor, of an overseer. So we go to 1 Timothy, for instance, where Paul lists these qualities that an overseer, a pastor should possess, and he says, there's kind of his job description. He says, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, a husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle.
Gentle.
Yeah, gentle. So this character of Jesus to be gentle, also for us as pastors and people, are a fruit of the Spirit, something that we have connected to Christ. And may we demonstrate that gentleness in our ministry as pastors, speaking the truth, but with a gentleness. And may we have that gentleness, too, as Christians, especially as we deal with and care about people who maybe are stuck in a certain sin, to restore them.
Speaking the truth in love, I think that's the passage, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, because I was wrestling too how that applies to me, but I think I understand that now. It's not that we ignore the problems of sin around us, that we treat people with love and with mercy and forgiveness as we deal with those things.
Yeah, I think Paul says it best in Galatians 6. Restore them with that spirit of gentleness.
All right, what's coming up next week, Matt?
Next week we have our last fruit of the Spirit, last but not least, the fruit of self-control.